TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock, you're going to be able to get two $25 gift certificates to Smoke Barbecue in Mount Pleasant for half off. This incredible deal is available, like I said, tomorrow at 3 o'clock. All you got to do is log on to WTMA.com. Coming up on Sunday, this is pretty cool. The South Carolina Highway Patrol is going to be taking on the Georgia State Patrol in a softball game, benefiting Special Olympics of South Carolina. It's going to be Law Enforcement Appreciation Night there at the Joe, and tickets are $7, and they're good for the not only the softball game, but the 505 game against Lakewood. And coming up this morning at 8:40, we're going to be talking about that game with Trooper Matt here on the program. You don't want to miss out on that. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Glad to have you along with us. Still talking a bit about this decision. I don't even know if it's a decision. I don't know if everybody has weighed in on this thing or not yet about repealing health care, but we'll be talking about that this morning. Also, there's this story that it seems like everybody's trying to make a big deal, literally a mountain out of a molehill, that the president met for a second time with Vladimir Putin there at a couples-only dinner that they had at the G20. Now, they're trying to make this a big story, but I think just like everything else that the Democrats and the mainstream media has tried to do over the past, 11 months now, I don't think anything is going to come of it, but they are going to be. In fact, I'm looking at it. It's almost already fallen off of the radar on some of these on the mainstream media. So they tried to make this thing blow up. AP was reporting it. Meg Kinnard, who is no big fan of the president, she reported on it yesterday. AP reported on it yesterday. Other news agencies reported on it yesterday. Nothing. Another big nothing burger. They ought to have a food truck up there. And if somebody hadn't done this, they need to do it. In Washington, D.C., what they ought to do, somebody ought to have a food truck called the DNC Nothing Burger. The DNC Nothing Burger food truck. You get there and all you get, you order your burger and all you're going to get is two pieces of bread with maybe some mayonnaise and ketchup on it and nothing else inside, because that's exactly what. Maybe CNN ought to do that. CNN ought to have the Nothing Burger food truck up there in D.C. So more nothing from the Democrats. Our own embarrassment, Stephen Colbert, talked about the death of Trump care last night.
I have some sad news tonight. Last night, the GOP health care bill was pronounced dead of terminal sucking. Yeah. I clap when I'm heartbroken, too. You cover the pain. It was always a long shot because the Republicans control only all three branches of government. Republicans said one thing for the last four elections.
We need to repeal and replace Obamacare.
Repeal and immediately replace the failures of Obamacare.
Repeal and replace Obamacare.
Repeal Obamacare and replace it.
We will repeal and we will replace.
Repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace it.
It was your one job. It's your tagline. It's your motto. It's Paul Ryan's tramp stamp.
You know what? I got to agree with Colbert. Maybe for once since, Donald Trump announced his presidency, I have to agree with Stephen Colbert. This is what the Republicans have been running on. So, was it a fact? Was it a real desire to repeal and replace Obamacare, or was it simply an empty motto in order to sucker you into voting for them? Is that what it was? I think we really need to take a look at the people that are in office right now and decide coming up in 2018 whether or not we want those people to continue in the jobs that they hold today.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning to you. It's 7:20, 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Today is National Hot Dog Day. Well, I tell you what, there was a time in my life where I wouldn't eat a hot dog if you paid me money. But I have really learned to appreciate the delicacy that is the American hot dog. It is absolutely fantastic. I know we got a lot of great hot dog places here in the Lowcountry, but I'll have to say that Sheila and I really love the hot dogs at Burbage's. Burbage's Grocery downtown. Really so good. They've got this one, and they got them all named after, like, different people. I can't wait to have the Charlie dog there. But the one that I love is already taken. It's got coleslaw on it, and it's got jalapeno peppers on it, and it's got pimento cheese on it, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So get out there and have yourself a fantastic hot dog today, because it is National Hot Dog Day. I do. I'd love a good hot dog these days. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. However, I will have to say that I also love that sweet potato mustard that comes on a Cosmic Dog out of Jack's. That is fantastic as well. So very, very nice. Love it. Love them hot dogs. I think I'm going to go get me one today. All right, again, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. You know, we got hurricane season. It is upon us, and we want to make sure that you're ready for it. You can download the WTMA Hurricane Preparedness Guide at WTMA.com. It's absolutely free and full of life-saving information, and is brought to you in part by Property Casualty Insurers Association of America, Jeffcoat Real Estate, East Bay Deli, and you can get your hurricane guide right now at WTMA.com. So where's your favorite hot dog in the Lowcountry? I want to know. I mean, like I said, I love Burbage's. I'm a big fan of Jack's. And I know there's some other places in town that have really great hot dogs that are known for their hot dogs. There was one little place up there in Camden that was, I don't know how they've been able to keep this name, but it was called the Little Midget. I don't know if you guys ever been there, but Little Midget has really, really good stuff. Let's go out to Hanahan and talk to Steve. Steve, how are you? What do you think about Tim Scott and this health care bill?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, I'm like you. I like Tim. Everybody likes Tim.
Yeah.
But Tim's, you know, he's wrong on this thing about this entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you characterize Obamacare as an entitlement.
Right, and because you got to pay for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's right. And well, we have what we call contributory entitlements and mm-hmm. then the free ones, you know,
right.
Contribute to Social. I don't even know why they call those entitlements. I pay for Social Security.
Exactly,
for Medicare. But let me tell you, Tim, here's the deal. I can opt out of a retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I can't opt out of Obamacare or people who have to take it. I mean,
right.
You've got an individual mandate. People do not have to take Medicaid. They do not have to take food stamps.
Yeah.
You can just take that entitlement thing and shove it. I mean, it's not that kind of entitlement. I don't know why you say that. When you take away that, you know, when you add an individual mandate
mm-hmm.
and penalize somebody for not buying something at a local level, no.
Right.
You got it wrong, buddy. Of course, now, Tim's, you know, he was just elected last year, so he's got a long time to go with him.
Yeah.
So he's not going to suffer politically, I don't think. And, of course, Lindsey Graham, he'll never suffer politically.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
No. You know, Mark comes up next year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this thing's just a mess. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's been kicked around and discussed. I mean, you know, I'm...
But, Steve, I don't understand the difference between today and 2015 when everybody was like, yeah, repeal it, repeal it, repeal it, and now you got a chance to do it, and they're backing down.
Well, you know what? Republicans won't stick together.
No.
They won't stick together like the Democrats. You said it yesterday in your show. You know, Democrats circle the wagons. Republicans don't.
Yeah.
You know,
they form a circular firing squad and shoot each other.
Yeah, and let me tell you, people are tired of it. I mean, so it may have, you know, it may affect, I mean, this is kind of a Senate thing right now, mm-hmm. but it may affect Mark next year, you know.
It may. And I hear that Larry Kabrowski is going to be running against Mark Sanford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
so,
anyway.
We'll see. All right.
Yeah, all right, bud.
All right, bud. Appreciate it. Glenn is out in Hollywood real quick. Glenn, where's your favorite hot dog, buddy?
I got to tell you, Charlie, at the Circle K, they got the sausage dog roller machine.
Yeah.
For about $3, you get two sausage dogs and a Coke, and you can make them up any way you want. They've got coleslaw, sauerkraut, jalapenos, you name it. And I tell you, it's the best way to go.
There you go.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It is 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Happy National Hot Dog Day. Yep. Just posted something online. Seriously, if you have never tried cream corn on a hot dog, I highly recommend you do it. Just give it a shot. That's all I'm asking. You've tried everything else. You tried pimento cheese. You've tried jalapeno. You tried. At one point, somebody said, hey, let's throw some chili on a hot dog. And somebody went, ooh, that's gross. But they tried it and they were like, that's fantastic. Throw some cream corn on a hot dog one day. Oh, it's fantastic. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up at 840, we're going to be talking with Trooper Matt about this upcoming softball game, which is going to be pretty doggone cool. It's going to benefit Special Olympics. And what do I got about 8 to 10 this morning? We're going to be talking with Helen Ferray. She's the White House Director of Media Affairs. Going to be talking about Made in America Week. And at 9:35, we will be talking with the folks from the American Red Cross, because apparently we have a pretty big blood supply shortage out there. And it happens, you know, during the summertime. We get busy. We're going on vacation. We got, running the kids all over the place. And people just can't make time to donate blood. So we'll be talking about them with them and let you know how you can help out the American Red Cross. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. There are some boats out there. Now, we love our boats here in Charleston. We really, really do. Everybody out there has got a boat. And if you go out to California Dreaming and you sit there and you're outside, it's a great view, by the way, fantastic view out there, California Dreaming. And you're sitting there and you're looking, you're seeing all these half-sunk boats out in the water. And you see them, they've just been abandoned. Well, they are pretty much a big problem out there. Here's a story from the Post and Courier. Less than a decade after a grant allowed the removal of several abandoned boats from the Folly River, more neglected vessels have moved into the area. These include boats docked near the Folly River boat ramp that's nearly entirely underwater. This is the third time this particular boat has sunk. Really? If you get a boat that sinks three times, do you think maybe it might be time to get rid of that boat? I would think so. Nobody's pumped the water from the boat because it's been recovered before, they say. They wouldn't consider it. They wouldn't. It sunk, and it sunk for three times, but they wouldn't consider it completely abandoned. Yeah, you never know. It might be fun to take the kids to. Or something like that. Let's go out to the sunken boat. Anyway, we got to do something about our abandoned boats here in the Lowcountry. Charleston area has seen expensive operations over the past several years to remove boats from the Folly River and the Ashley River, and which has also seen a newly abandoned boat problem. Here's the thing, though. You need to be responsible for that. If you've got a boat and it's sunk, you need to, just like if you've got a car, you can't just leave a car on the side of the road. Somebody, you got to get rid of that thing. So they're going to have to start fining the owners of this boat. Well, we can't find the owner of this boat. Well, then how the heck does it, how was it moored? How was it moored out there? I think you can find out who owns this boat, these boats, and start finding these people. We can't. That just looks trashy. I was down in St. Petersburg a couple of weeks ago on vacation, and we were there at one of their marinas, and you didn't see abandoned boats out there. You didn't see people just walking away from their boats. No, not at all. They took care of them. And I don't know who's responsible for removing boats, but it needs to be the boat owner. Nobody else, including taxpayers.
WTMA! Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up at 8:10, we'll be talking with Helen Ferray, White House spokesperson, assistant spokesperson for the White House and their media corps there. So we'll be talking with her about the Made in America Week. That'll be an interesting conversation. But right now, I got a pair of tickets to give away to go see Hank Williams Jr. in concert. I will take caller number 7 at 556-1250. That's 843-556-1250. Caller number 7. Going to pick up these tickets to see Hank Jr., Bo Cephas, out at the, going to be at Volvo Car Stadium coming up on the 22nd. You don't want to miss out on this show. It is going to be fantastic. 843-556-1250. Again, I will take caller number 7 at 556-1250, and you're going to win these tickets. Let's go ahead and scroll through these callers right now in order to get to caller 7. It's great. He puts on such a fantastic show, man. He really does. Got to saw him a couple times. One time down in Jacksonville. Of course, he thought he was in Gainesville. But that's just Hank.
Right state.
That's just, at least he got the state right. Let's go to caller number 7 right now and say good morning. Who is this?
This is David.
David, how are you this morning, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You just picked yourself up a pair of tickets to go see Hank Jr. in concert, man.
Super. Woo! Yeah.
Yeah, you ever seen Hank before?
No, I haven't. He's one of the few I haven't seen.
Well, you're going to have yourself a fantastic time there at Volvo Car Stadium, buddy. I'm going to put you on hold, David, and let John Quincy get some information from you so we can get these tickets to you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Now, when you watch CNN, you always wonder about these news anchors on there, right? You always, you know, how biased they are. There's a guy named Mark Lamont Hill that is a CNN contributor, and of course he's a race baiter. He was pleased to tweet out a happy birthday wish to a woman named Asat Shakur last weekend. Yeah, that's right. Asat Shakur. Well, maybe he shouldn't have done that. Let's see, Mark Lamont Hill. Happy 70th birthday to Asat Shakur. Hands off Asata. Well, I guess her name's Asata. Palinqui Queen, whatever that means. Bola Kaja. I have no idea what any of those words mean on the hashtag. However, there's a little problem with this woman, Asata Shakur. She's a cop killer. Yeah, she is a cop killer. In fact, a lot of the folks that are representing the Women's March, and this is one of the things, you know, the Women's March on Washington and all of that. You remember those ladies out there? They had their pea hats on, and they were all nasty women, and they were, you know, oh gosh, you remember that that diatribe that Ashley Judd went on. And Madonna said she had dreamed of blowing up the White House and yada, yada. You remember that Women's March. Well, Linda Sarsour, she's the radical Muslim who heads up the Women's March. In fact, they had another Women's March against the NRA. She's a woman who, Linda Sarsour, heads up the Women's March, thought it would be cool to praise a convicted cop killer on her birthday. The same way Mark Lamont Hill did. So the Women's March, this is her Twitter page, says, happy birthday to the revolutionary Asata Shakur, today's sign of resistance in Asat's honor. Yeah, she is a cop killer. She's a fugitive living in Cuba. You know it's bad when Jake Tapper from CNN calls you out on something stupid. You know that you have really crossed the line there. So, but that's the way the left is. And it's not all the left, I will admit that. But a lot of these radical leftists like Linda Sarsour, who is the hijab-wearing radical Muslim, who believes in Sharia law, by the way. She's a big believer in Sharia law. Well, if that's such a great thing, why do you have to wear that that headscarf that you wear there? Oh, no, it's not because they, you know, look down on women or anything like that, is it? No, couldn't be. So Linda Sarsour says, happy birthday to a cop killer. Well, that's nice. That's lovely, isn't it? That's the way they are. So what else happened at this? Remember this women's march against the NRA? They were trying to be cute, you know? They were talking about diversity in this rally, this march that they had, and there were some females out there who were carrying around a sign that said, Allah is gay. Yeah, that was the sign. And I'm really surprised these women haven't been found detached from their heads because of this sign, but I'm sure that that may well be coming. The left is absolutely cannibalizing itself. The radical left are. And we're going to talk more about this college called Evergreen up there in the Pacific Northwest. It is the most radical college in the nation. You thought Berkeley was bad. Even the people at Berkeley look up at Evergreen and go, "Whew, man, what are you thinking?" Well, apparently there was a young white student there who tried to speak out in several classes that were discussing race, and she has been told to sit down and be quiet. Sit down and be quiet. And this, remember, this is the same college that had the no whites on campus day. Remember that? They couldn't, you know, all whites. It was just going to be all black day there on the campus there at Evergreen. And this one college professor spoke out and they basically told him to shut up. So I don't understand how Evergreen is getting people to still attend that college. They must just be giving away scholarships there. And speaking of college and how to pay for it, you know, they've been talking about the cost of college loans. Well, apparently, $5 billion in student loans may have to be forgiven because somebody lost the paperwork.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning, it's 8:11, 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later on in the program, going to be giving away some tickets to go see the River Dogs play. You don't want to miss out on that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We'd love for you to join in on the conversation. It is Made in America Week. Up there in, the Washington, folks in the White House have proclaimed it Made in America Week. President Trump was, appeared on the front lawn of the White House with a lot of great products that were made right here in the United States of America. And this is a really big deal. This is one of the things that the president has certainly been hammering. Buy American, Made in America. We all love that. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Helen Foray. She's a White House Director of Media Affairs. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good, thank you. So glad to be with you this morning.
Glad to have you on the program. Tell us a little bit about Made in America Week, because this is something that everybody really needs to get excited about, the increase in production, getting America from a consumer-driven economy back to where we really should be, a manufacturing type of economy, right?
There's no question about it. And so the president is really determined that we get back to manufacturing and provide the private sector what they mm-hmm. need in order to be able to grow. And so we're going to honor this week in particular the incredible men and women who work in companies that make Made in America, the incredible worldwide standard brand of excellence. And that really speaks to, you know, the great quality and craftsmanship of the American worker and American ingenuity in building business. But we have to be realistic about mm-hmm. it. I mean, you know, I don't know that people want to send work overseas on purpose. We have to learn to become competitive again. And that's why the
right.
president said, look, let's renegotiate NAFTA so that we're on a level playing field. For too long, we have had too many treaties, you know, trade agreements that favor our global competitors more than our own American workers.
Right.
And that's why, you know, when we say, you know, Made in America, we're saying this is all a part of putting America and American workers first. And that's what this is all about.
Doesn't it kind of boggle the mind that any administration would ever enter into an agreement that puts America at a disadvantage over their competitors?
Well, we had that, but, you know, we had that for the last 8 years
sure.
of the previous administration. And that's why we had to pull out of, you know, that Paris treaty on climate change, where
right.
we were giving billions of dollars to countries that are continuing to pollute. We on our own have done more than any other nation to pull back on harmful emissions to the environment. And yet we were paying companies, countries that have companies that compete on many levels unfairly against U.S. companies. We were giving them billions of dollars above and beyond what other countries are doing. And we get criticized for getting smart about it? Jeez, that's just absurd.
It is absurd. It is absolutely absurd. But you know what, Ellen? You and the president and all of you folks up there in the White House, you're just being nationalistic. That's all it is. You're just flag waving. How do you answer some of these critics that say things like that?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And I would say, you're darned right we're flag waving. Yeah. You're darned right we're nationalistic. And that's what we're supposed to be. We are Americans first. And there's nothing that we should be ashamed of. That's why we honor, you know, our men and women in uniform. That's mm-hmm. why we honor law enforcement. You know, freedom doesn't come free. You have to work at it. You have to fight for it. And that means creating the policies that help American families be successful. The American dream isn't over unless we bury it. And,
right.
you know, we're really determined that we're not going to be doing that. So if we have detractors that say, you're patriotic. Yeah, you're darn right we're patriotic. We're putting American first. And we're not ashamed of that. That's why, you know, we believe that, you know, we should have, you know, prayers in schools. And that's why we believe that, you know, we should say the national anthem and that mm-hmm. we should be proud of our flag and we should be proud of the values that we stand for. And if anybody has a problem with that, or they can, you know, they can meet us at the table and we can talk about it. But I assure you that, you know, the last election shows that Americans, most Americans think that we're right.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't have a problem with patriotism whatsoever. Now, there are also some people that say, well, look at some of the business interests that that President Trump and his family have. Look at some of the manufacturing that they have overseas. But haven't the policies of the past made it almost a prerequisite that some of these manufacturing jobs actually be shipped out overseas? You almost have to do that. But isn't the president trying to reverse that trend?
That's
trying
exactly
to make it more affordable for people to do business here in this country?
So a company has, you know, to has an allegiance to shareholders. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, they can actually take you to court for doing just the opposite and ruining a company.
Right.
So, you know, we have to create the proper environment. That's why we need tax reform in such a major way. You know, we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world.
Yeah.
In the world. That's outrageous. And so what we need to do is that we need to provide the proper incentives so that corporations, large and small, and LLCs, you know, small family businesses, mm-hmm. can also benefit from tax reform. And by the way, you know, in the case, you know, there was some discussion of the Ivanka Trump line. Ivanka Trump is no longer associated with that company that has her name.
Mm-hmm.
She has no longer associated, and she has nothing to do with that. And she is concerned about, you know, companies not being made, you know, not manufacturing in America.
Right.
She cannot, because she is a member of the federal government, even though she's not getting paid a cent.
Right.
She's doing it pro bono. You know, because she's just, you know, a great person in that regard. But, you know, she can't do anything, but we are all working really hard so that regardless of the brand, corporations are able to manufacture within the United States and be able to thrive. They're not, you know, businesses aren't charities.
Right.
They're supposed to make money, and we want them to make money because that's what makes communities thrive.
Yeah, that's what provides jobs.
They'll be able to grow our economy, and they'll be able to employ more people, which is why we also need healthcare reform so that, you know, you can level the playing field so families can actually get the healthcare that they need, that they want, at the price they can afford and have, you know, better choices and better access to their doctors. And companies will be able to have a lower tax burden and be able to provide more jobs. Right now, our economy rolls at almost, if not 2%.
Mm-hmm.
That is unsustainable. That is so low.
Right.
We need 3.5%, which is why we need to bring manufacturing back to the United States, and we need to have Made in America something that becomes, once again, the national standard, an international standard. But we need to have tax reform in order to make that a real possibility.
Definitely. We're talking with Helen Ferre, White House Director of Media Affairs. Where is your office in Washington?
It is in the White House complex. I am in
the
Eisenhower Building, right across from the West Wing. So
yeah.
I'm blessed. I pinch myself every single day.
So how often do you get over in the White House?
Every day.
So what's that? What is the atmosphere like right now in the White House among the people that are working there in the Trump administration? Because all we hear is doom and gloom and, you know, everybody's disgruntled and everybody's ready to throw in the towel. That's what the media wants us to know. But Helen, what's the actual feeling with the folks that are working there in the White House?
Rolled up sleeves every day. Mm-hmm. We've got an important job to do. And that is to fulfill the campaign promises we made last year that the president has been working very hard to do. And that includes working. The president today is inviting all of the Republican senators to come and have lunch at the White House to talk about health care, because we are going to repeal and replace Obamacare. We're working very hard in order to find the proper way. Today, for example, we're going to have a meeting with companies, American companies that are made in America, on how we can certify the Made in America label to ensure that the standards are met and that there's a labeling process so that American consumers can know what is truly made in America and what is not.
Right.
And we're also looking forward next week that we're going to talk about our American heroes and honor our American heroes, because Made in America isn't just about business. It's also about our values and our freedom. And so we're going to carry this forward in a way that's, you know, that's just particularly unique to the American spirit. And that's how we are. I mean, when I read this doom and gloom stuff, I mean, you know, it sounds like, you know, like Shakespeare's Macbeth. And it's like, no, the sun actually shines here every single day. And we're so excited to be working so hard. We have got a great team, but there's no question about it. We've got obstructionists in Congress who are trying to impede the president's good work. We have members of mainstream media who want to depict a picture that is so not reflective of the reality here at the White House. It's not to say that it is easy. It is not to say that the Republican Party always speaks in one voice.
Mm-hmm.
But we are speaking cordially. We all are working very hard. And we know that under this president's leadership, we're going to make America great again. And that's our commitment to the American people. And that's what we are doing and working very hard every day. So when you hear that doom and gloom stuff, forget it.
It's
not real.
That's right. More fake news. Helen Ferre, White House Director of Media Affairs, we appreciate you being on the program. Best of luck and hope to talk to you soon.
I would love that, Charlie. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show this
Thank morning. You. Glad to have you. Thank you very much. It's an honor.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:40, 20 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's time now for our Leo Heroes, celebrating law enforcement officers all throughout the Lowcountry and the great work that they do for our community. Joining us this morning, we have got Trooper Matt on with us. Good morning, Matt Southern. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. You guys got a busy weekend coming up because you got a softball game that you got to play. Are you playing in the game?
I am not. I'm a little behind the scenes. You have those people there helping out to make sure everything goes like it's supposed to work.
That's right. You and Trooper Bob are coordinating this whole thing. The South Carolina Highway Patrol against the Georgia State Patrol, and it benefits Special Olympics. You guys with the South Carolina Highway Patrol, very involved in Special Olympics. Tell us about how special this organization is to you guys.
Well, you know, Special Olympics, once you get involved with these athletes, it hits you right in the heart. The only thing that they want is to be included and accepted in everyday life, and they're no different than you and I, Charlie.
Right.
They just want to be included and accepted in everything that we do. There's over 25,000 Special Olympics athletes in South Carolina that benefit from the types of fundraiser activities that law enforcement does all throughout the year. I know you helped us last year with the Cops on Top of Donut Shop
from
West Ashley. You know, I myself, I've waited tables before in my police uniform. So there's all kind of things that we do all throughout the year that benefits Special Olympics athletes all across the state.
Now, I always tell people, if you want to have a wonderful, wonderful day, get involved with Special Olympics, go out to the games and volunteer, if only to be a hugger, because it will literally change your life.
It will. You know, those guys, that they train all throughout the year for the opportunity to go out and compete, and for someone to be there cheering them on, you know, clapping, giving them a hug, a high five, that just makes their day.
It really, really does. You guys have done so much with Special Olympics. All right, tell us, how many years you guys been doing this with your competition against the Georgia State Patrol?
Well, this is the third time that we've hosted it here in the Charleston area. Last year, troopers actually traveled to Georgia, so they were over in Georgia's turn.
Right.
You know, we do have a reputation to uphold with this softball game, because every time that we have played the Georgia State Patrol, we've beat them. So, a little bit of bragging rights that we are trying to keep here in South Carolina. But we're excited. It's Sunday, July 23rd, over at the Joe. Game kicks off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but there's some fun before that. Some of our local media personalities are going to be in the dunk tank there at the, at the Joe. Ms. Christy Kohler from Channel 2 and Mr. Dave Williams from Channel 4 are all willing to take a plunge, but we're also going to have some celebrity coaches, a celebrity umpire as well. So we've got just about all the bases covered,
so to speak. Yes, absolutely. Again, that is coming up this Sunday out at the Joe. Tickets are $7, and you'll be able to stay for the River Dogs game, right?
That's right, and we really encourage folks, they've got to get these tickets over at Jones Ford there at Rivers and Remount. You got until Saturday to get them. After Saturday, you can't get that special $7 ticket. You'll have to pay a regular admission price. So, you know, hey, get that $7 ticket and come out and support us and the 25,000 Special Olympics athletes across our state.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Trooper Matt. We appreciate you being on the program this morning, buddy. Best of luck to you, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Matt Southern from the South Carolina Highway Patrol. Yep, we got to uphold that reputation. Beating the Georgia State Patrol in this softball game coming up on Sunday.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:51, 9 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. The Charleston County School Board voted to increase their pay by about $14,000. I think it was $14,428 a year. And some people kind of raised their eyebrows about this, one of them being State Senator Chip Campson. And he's saying this may be illegal. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Charlie. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you calling into the program today. So tell us about the legality. What are some of the questions that are being raised about the pay raise by the Charleston County School Board?
Well, Charlie, education in South Carolina is by according to the Constitution, it's Article 11, Section 3, if anyone wants to look at it. This is the same, you know, you're familiar with, I'm sure, the Abbeville decision that the Supreme Court handed down. And that decision was handed down pursuant to this section of the Constitution that provides that the General Assembly shall provide for the maintenance and support of a system of local public schools, including the establishment and organization of those school districts. And so the General Assembly has unique power pursuant to the Constitution when it comes to public education, meaning that we can pass special local legislation dealing with school districts pursuant to that constitutional provision. They're upheld as being constitutional. And what we have when it comes to the Charleston County School District is we have the Act of Consolidation that was passed in 1967 that consolidated consolidated the school districts and also established for compensation of the school board.
Right.
And it and the provision in that section, in that act of consolidation, was a per diem. That was that is consistent with state law. We have a state law, statewide law, section 59.1.350, that says that school board of trustees may serve without pay, and mm-hmm. also may serve receiving a per diem, but it does not authorize a salary. And so, pursuant to that code section, a school board in which the General Assembly has not established a per diem could establish a per diem for themselves.
Right.
But we have established by passing a state law that applies to the school district that establishes the per diem. So when it comes to Charleston County, not only can they not, the school board itself, not only can they not establish their own salary, they can't change their per diem either. And there are a lot of Attorney General's opinions that have supported this. There are several bills that have been introduced in the General Assembly over the years, and this per diem has been raised three times since the Act of Consolidation initially established.
And that would be under the jurisdiction of the school board, right? They could raise their per diem?
No, they can't.
They can't?
Because
it's been established.
Specifically,
okay,
by state law. Now, if we had not addressed it, then they could, pursuant to a law that's generally applied to all school districts. But any school district in which the legislature has established a per diem, that is the per diem that would be applicable. But there is, in no instance, is there authorization for a salary when it comes to Charleston County. Now, there are a couple of school districts who do have salaries, but they were specifically authorized by an act of the General Assembly. Greenville
right.
County and Horry County are examples. And so the only thing permitted is a per diem under general statewide law, and we, by act of the General Assembly, I wasn't in the General Assembly when this happened, mm-hmm. but the General Assembly passed a law regarding Charleston County that established the per diem. And so having occupied the field, they preempted the ability of the school board to set their own per diem. We could pass a law that establishes a salary. I told
right.
the school board that. I sent them a letter before they took this action.
When did
sent them a legal memorandum telling
right.
them y'all are about to do something that is unlawful.
So did they come to you asking for this pay raise before they voted for it?
No, they didn't. Well, no. Well, there had been some discussion about
mm-hmm.
giving them a pay raise a few years ago, and frankly, we were beginning to move in that direction. We're open to that. And then you remember when the $18 million went missing?
Right.
You remember when they couldn't account for $18 million of taxpayer funding?
Yes.
That's when we were just beginning to consider, well, maybe we ought to give them an increase in their per diem or a salary. But when they lost $18 million, that kind of knocked the wind out of the sails
mm-hmm.
of that. And we dropped it. And rightfully so. You don't give someone a raise right after they lost $18 million.
Right, yeah. It would be hard
money.
To justify.
So they didn't come to me with regards to... I had some members inquire of me. Not the entire board, but I did have some members who, some of the members who ended up voting against the pay raise,
right?
Against the salary. But I did send a letter to the board. I know it was discussed. It was shared with all board members and a legal memorandum of why this was unlawful. And all I heard was, well, some board members have some other opinions. Senator Campson doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
These people are not lawyers. They're not lawmakers. They haven't done the research. And what they've done is unlawful.
We're talking with State Senator Chip Kempson about the legality of the pay raise by the Charleston County School Board. So what would the appropriate avenue have been for them to take if they were looking for a salary for the Charleston County School Board?
To the only way they could get a salary is if the General Assembly passed a law that established a salary. That is the way it's been done. You don't have to look far. All you have to do is look the way the other counties that do have salaries have done it, and that's the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
There are laws, there are state laws that created a salary for Horry County and for Greenville County, and that's the right way to do it. And like I said, I think the delegation, before they took this action and before they lost the $18 million,
mm-hmm.
was, in fact, open to that. The members of the Charleston delegation were. After they lost the $18 million, that kind of squashed the whole thing. But before they took this action, I was still open to considering that. But after being put on notice, because I wrote them a letter June the 30th, I sent them a letter and I sent them a legal memorandum of why they can't do this, and they thumbed their nose at it and they did it anyway.
So now this is supposed to take effective immediately. Is it going to happen?
Well, it's not even in their budget.
Right, they've already set the budget for this year. Right,
right, and there's another constitutional provision that they're up against, and that is. That's Article 10, Section 8, that says money shall be drawn from the treasury of the state or the treasury of any of its political subdivisions, which includes the Charleston County School District's political subdivision, only in pursuance of appropriations made by law.
Right.
First of all, this appropriation is not a made by law for two reasons.
Senator, I appreciate you. It's not even in their budget. All right, we got about 10 seconds left till I have to hit a heartbreak. Senator, we appreciate you calling in this morning. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Senator Chip Campson on with us this morning.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMN.